I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to James chapter 5. James chapter 5, we're going to look at actually verses 7 through 11. But we're going to talk about how do we face trials as believers in Christ. We don't have to be reminded that we have trials in our lives because we all encounter trials. Job said in Job 5 and verse 7, he says, man is born unto trouble as sparks fly upward. Meaning that as sure as sparks fly upward out of fire, man as well will have trouble in his life. And we've all experienced that. Jesus said also that in this world you will have tribulation. Paul reminds us in Galatians that we must go through much tribulation before we enter the kingdom of God. So it's important that we be reminded how we are to face trials in our lives as Christians. It's also important to remember that as Christians we face one more trial that the world does not face, and that's persecution. We are persecuted for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So in this little section at the end of the book of James, it's only five verses long, but it tells us how we as believers in Christ are to handle trials and persecution and how we're to have patience. So as we begin, let's pray and then we'll get started. Father, we are grateful tonight again and thankful to you for your word. For we know it comes from you, the creator of all things, that your word is truth. And that we can stand on it. We thank you, Father, again tonight, even as we've sung, for this salvation that we have in Christ that bonds us together. And so, Lord, we live in a world that is in turmoil and so unsettled. We see crime all around us, and more, even in our own country, we see disruption. And so tonight, Lord, I'd ask that you would give us wisdom, give us knowledge and understanding, and teach us from your word how to be patient until you come. Give us wisdom in this, and Lord, just pray that your Holy Spirit would speak through us tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to read these passages, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to read in chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. So if you turn your Bibles to James chapter 5, verse 1 through 11, and I want to read these first six verses as well, because it gives us a little bit more of the context of the scripture here. So beginning in verse 1, he says, come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries which are coming upon you. Your riches have rotted and your garments have become moth-eaten. Your gold and your silver have rusted, and their rust will be a witness against you and will consume your flesh like fire. It is in the last days that you have stored up your treasure. Behold, the pay of the laborers who've mowed your fields, and which has been withheld by you, cries out against you. And the outcry of those who did the harvesting has reached the ears of the Lord of Sabbath. You have lived luxuriously on the earth and led a life of wanton pleasure, and you have fattened your hearts in the day of slaughter. You have condemned and put to death the righteous man, and he does not resist you. Look at that phrase. Remember that phrase. And then our verses begin here in verse 7. And he says, therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it until it gets the early and the late rains. You too be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Do not complain, brethren, against one another, so that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door. As an example, brethren, of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. We call those blessed who endured. You have heard of the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. James here is writing to these Jewish Christians that had been scattered abroad and were part of the 12 tribes of Israel, and that were facing trials and they were facing persecutions. And he was teaching them how they needed to learn to be patient. And here in verses 1 through 6, he's been writing about how the wicked wealthy have been abusing the righteous poor. Verse 6, he says this. He says, they have condemned and killed the righteous poor. And I want you to note here, he says at the end of that verse, they do not resist you. They do not fight back. They don't seek vengeance. They were being exploited by powerful men who would not stop short even of murder to hang on to their wealth and to promote themselves. And James condemns these people in these opening verses of this chapter. So here in verses 7 through 11, he talks to those being persecuted, and he tells them what kind of attitude they are to have. These Christians were being taken advantage of by being abused, and now he's telling these Christians how they are to react. And he says, be patient then, brothers. The word patience here means to be long-suffering. So he's saying, be long-suffering. And he repeats this word, notice in just these few verses, he repeats this word patient 4 times. And he also uses the word endure or endurance. And he uses that twice in these verses too. That also is another form of long suffering. It means to persevere. So that 6 times in these verses he tells them to be patient, be steadfast, and obey God even in the midst of all kinds of trials and persecutions. James writes this because we as believers in Christ sometimes have wrong attitudes towards being persecuted or even towards trials. And he knows, and that's why he calls us to be patient. Basically, the word patient here has the idea of long suffering with people. When we see that here, it's just being long suffering with people. Trials and temptations are mentioned in this book. They're mentioned really in the first chapter, and it means there to be able to endure adverse circumstances. But here he's talking about enduring adverse people. So verse 6 says that the righteous people don't resist and they don't retaliate, they don't seek vengeance. So then we must not do that as believers in Christ. Whatever the trial, whatever the persecution, we must be patient, and that's the righteous way. That's the expectation of the child of God. So James is calling believers here to display that or to exhibit an endurance in trials and in circumstances, and also to be patient with people. So how are we supposed to do this? How are we supposed to be patient during trials with people? Well, James gives us 6 key things that we need to do in order to have patience. And number 1, he says, be patient, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. He said, anticipate the coming of the Lord. And that means realize it won't always be like this. Whatever that persecution or whatever that trial might be, that it is going to come to an end at some point. And so he says, until the coming of the Lord. You ever think about that? I think about that. You know, sometimes, get me out of here. I'm ready to go. Get me home. I don't want any more of this. I want to go to heaven, right? And sometimes it's actually, heaven becomes dearer to us the more we suffer here in this world. And it's the pain then that causes anticipation. He says to be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Now notice in verse 7 that he uses the words, the coming of the Lord, and he says it again in verse 8, you too be patient, strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. And in verse 9, he says, the judge is standing right at the door. All refer to the coming of the Lord, all three times. So the church, and the church has always looked forward to the coming of the Lord. And we live in the light of that return, and we know that we're going to do, you know, we're going to be there forever. We're going to be here with Him in the new world, the new heavens, the new earth, that new city. And we'll be there forever. And I think that the persecuted church, this is my opinion, is more likely to live in the light of the coming of the Lord than perhaps maybe even the church that is not so persecuted. In fact, when everything is going really good for the church, there's probably less thought of the coming of the Lord, and some may be more concerned about postponing that. But the point that James is saying, he says, brothers, be patient until the coming of the Lord. If you're going to endure the persecution of the wicked and the wealthy, and if you're going to endure whatever sufferings comes, you've got to have your eyes on the return and the arrival of Jesus Christ. He's coming. That's our hope. Our hope is the coming of the Lord. There's always been persecution of the church, and there always will be until the Lord comes. The church then is always to be on the watch for the coming of the Lord. And he gives this very simple illustration about the farmer waiting for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it until he gets the early rain and he gets the late rain. The farmer, the spring of the year, he prepares the soil and he incorporates, he does whatever he has to, and he puts the seed in the ground and he waits. And he waits for the rain. And then when the crop begins to come, he looks to see the kind of stand he has. And as he continues to maybe get rain, he cultivates that crop pretty quick in the corn. He sees the tassel. And he knows the ears are going to follow that. And the ears begin to set. And then he waits for the late rains so that he can fill that crop out. And then he waits until it's time to harvest it. And so he has long patience until the crop is finished and it's harvested. Paul makes this statement to the Galatians, and I think it fits in really good here. He says this, he says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So we need to keep our focus on the coming of the Lord. The first thing, the first lesson about being patient. Secondly, in verse 9, he said, do not complain, brothers, against one another, so that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door. And it gives us a picture that Christ is ready to return. He's behind the door. It can happen any time. Prophecy has been fulfilled, and Christ could return at any time. Then James is saying that not only be ready and watching for the coming of the Lord and anticipate that, but recognize that when He comes, it's judgment time. It's judgment time. So he recognizes that being under persecution can cause people to be very frustrated. And that frustration can even break out not only towards the persecutor who makes that person angry, but it can also break out against other people around them. So the idea is that people living in difficulty can become so frustrated and so embittered that they lose their patience even with one another. James is saying here, don't let that happen. The word complain actually means here to groan or to grumble in a silent way. It's really a feeling that's not expressed. It's talking about a bitter heart. Don't get a bitter heart about that as a believer in Christ. Don't have a resentful spirit. So Jesus is saying, don't fall into sin because of persecution or because of the trial that you're in. Don't let sin dwell within you. So we should not only be looking for the coming of the Lord in a positive way, but also when he comes, it could be in a negative way. If we're not ready for that day, because we could lose some reward. We're not talking about losing our salvation. That's not what we're talking about here at all. Our salvation is secure in Christ. It's the one thing. As Pastor Dan has been talking about in our Sunday school, we are justified once and for all. That's not what we're talking about. But verse 9 says, lest you be judged. We will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We'll all be there to answer for the deeds done in the body, whether they are good or whether they are bad. 1 Corinthians 3 says that our works will be revealed, whether they're gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, or stubble. So there's a coming time of reward, and we have to be ready for what verse 7 says. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door, and he gives us a picture that Christ is ready to come through those doors at any time, and there's going to be that judgment. So how are we going to learn to be patient in times of trouble and persecution? Number one, by remembering that the Lord is coming, that it's going to, and that he's going to reward you. He's going to bless you. He's going to take you into heaven where there will be no more sorrow, there will be no more trouble. In Ephesians chapter 2 on verse 7, one of my favorite verses, it says this. It says, he saved us so that in the ages to come he might show you the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Jesus Christ. Look what we have to look forward to as believers in Christ. I think it's going to be beyond what we can imagine. It's going to be that great. That's what's prepared for us. And then secondly, we learn to be patient by not grumbling against one another, lest we be judged. We don't want trouble to lead us into sin, so that we may forfeit our reward. Well, then thirdly, he says, we need to follow the Lord's servants. Look at verse 10. Verse 10 says this, take the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering and affliction and patience. We need to look at the prophets that have gone before us. They are an example to us. And we can even look at our Lord for that. In John 13:15, he said this. He says, I gave you an example that you also should do as I did to you. The example is to do what I did. Imitate the conduct of the prophets. And we could talk about all kinds of prophets here. We could talk about Moses. He's leading 2 million people plus into the promised land. And he's putting up with all the grumbling and groaning and all the things that are going on. And yet we see his spirit to be very meek most of the time. Okay? I think about Daniel being thrown into the lion's den, and yet without any resistance. Or Jeremiah into the cistern. Okay, Jeremiah, you're down there. We don't want to hear anymore from you. Why? Because he spoke the word of God. So we need to, the prophet spoke the word of God. He spoke all that God is and all that God has done and all that God wills for man. When we look at them, we see the examples. We see suffering, affliction, and patience at the same time. They faced a lot of difficulty, and they faced hostility, and they faced rejection, and they faced even being killed. In Hebrews chapter 11, it gives us this great list of these examples that went before us. And in chapter 12, it says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed with so great a cloud of witnesses, lay aside every weight so easily beset us, and let us run with what? With patience. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. We learn patience by looking at the example of the prophets that have gone before us. And then fourthly, facing trials with patience, we understand the Lord's blessing. Look at verse 11. He said, we count those blessed who endure. So what we're seeing here is people that go through these persecutions and sufferings are blessed of God, and they're blessed abundantly. It's not people who do great things that are blessed, but it's people who endure great things are the ones who are blessed. This kind of goes back to James and John when their mother came to Jesus and said, you know, it'd be nice if each one of my sons could sit, one on your right hand and one on your left hand in your kingdom. They were seeking to see who would be greatest in the kingdom. And Jesus said, are you able to endure, are you able to drink the cup that I drink? And really, the words were, are you able to endure the terrible experiences that I will endure? And they said they would, and I really don't think they understood what they were talking about. They were seeing more sitting next to him. But really, it's the one who endures the greatest suffering is the one who is blessed. We need to understand that God blesses those who endure persecution and trials and do that patiently. Those who learn to be patient, even in times of persecution, are blessed of God. And then fifthly, we need to realize that the Lord's purpose or the outcome of the Lord's dealings, as he says here in verse 11, he says, you have heard of the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings. The Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. God has a purpose in these trials. God has a purpose for suffering. Job is one of the most familiar stories in the Bible. It's a story of a righteous man and a merciful God. And we all know that story. We're all familiar with it. Job was a godly man, and Satan came to God. He said to God, he said, I don't think you have one man down there on earth that would really be true to you. But God said, I do. His name is Job. God told Satan, he said, you can do whatever you want to do, but don't kill him. And so Satan took away all his earthly possessions. His cattle, his donkeys were stolen, and the servants were killed, except one. Came and told him. Fire burnt up his sheep and all his servants, except one. His camels were taken, his servants that kept them were slain, except one. His sons and his daughters were having a party. A great wind came. The house collapsed on them. They were all killed. And apparently one of the guests escaped to tell him about it. And then we see the reaction of Job. The Bible says that Job worshiped. He said, naked I came and naked I will leave. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And his wife said, Job, you're goofy. Curse God and die. But Job said, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. Through all this, Job did not sin, nor did he blame God. Job endured, and he endured, and he endured. And why? Because he knew that God had a purpose. So what was that purpose? God. Well, first of all, it was to test his faith to see that he was real. That he was really in Christ, that he was in God. And then it was to strengthen his faith so that he would know God more clearly. It says in the end of the book of Job in chapter 42 and verse 5, he said, I heard of you with the hearing of my ear, but now my eyes see you. We see the growth that Job had even from the very beginning until now. He said, now I see you, I know you. And then he also proved to Satan that there was a man that truly loved God, no matter what it cost him. And such an example was Job even for us. God also showed his blessedness to Job. In the end, Job was blessed twice as much as what he was even in the beginning. So when we come into trials into our lives, Do we recognize that God has a greater thing in mind? Do we recognize that? Or is that trial all about me? Is it, how am I going to figure this out? Or even when somebody, you know, we share the word with somebody and they kind of slam the door in our face, or they put us down for us. Oh, there goes the preacher boy. Or there goes whatever they might say. How do we take that? Is it about me? Do we see God in the presence of this? Do we see God's purpose, and are we ready to endure it? Are we ready to endure it for God's glory? Do we have in mind that God causes all things to work together for good for those who love Him? Do we think about it when we come into a trial? Is that the first thing that comes to our mind? Is that, you know, God is causing this for my good? Or is it maybe woe me? And I've been there with that. I've done that. So God has a purpose for us in all these trials. And then sixthly, patience comes by understanding the character of God. Here in verse 11, James says, "You have heard of the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful." Just consider for a moment the Lord's character, and we could think of all kinds of the Lord's attributes. But it says here is He's full of compassion. And whatever you're going through, whatever it may be, that He's compassionate. Have you ever been in a trial and you say, "Lord, are you really there? Or are you up there?" I'm sure that Job maybe had some of those thoughts when he went through those trials. But the word here for compassion, it means many. It means extremely pitiful. Many times, if we can think about it in that way. He's so compassionate that His mercies are new every morning. You know, I just studied this, I thought about this. How do Your mercies become new every morning for all of these people who sin against You on a daily basis? And they do it day in, day out. How do You do that? I mean, we sing about that in Great is Thy Faithfulness. Thy mercies are new every morning. But do we really think about what that means? What kind of compassion do you have to have that your mercies are new to these people every morning? God is tender-hearted towards us. He hears of our cares, and He says, "Cast them all on Me, because I care for you." That's the kind of compassion He has for us. So what kind of trials or struggles are you going through? Because I know we all have something. Is it a loss of a job? Is it a loss of a loved one? Is it a financial problem? Is it marriage? Or is it something within the marriage? Is it a child? James tells us how we can deal with it. First of all, he says, start by thinking about the Lord's return. And strengthen your hearts when you think about that. Remember that. He's coming as a judge. Don't let these trials allow you to sin that you lose your reward. And then thirdly, remind yourself of all those prophets that have gone before us, and let them be our examples. Many of them suffered severely. Many of them were killed. And many of them endured things that we even haven't even thought of or have been exposed to. So, think about the patience and the example of the prophets that went before us. And then also think of the blessings. That when you endure trials, there is great blessings. And there will be more blessings. Then fifthly, think about the purpose. That God has something in mind to perfect in you for His glory. It is for your good. It's for my good. And then sixthly, remember the Lord's character, that He is compassionate, that He is merciful, and He will never let you have more than you can bear. Be patient, for the day of the Lord is coming. And so this is a review, not to you, but to me, in all these things, to learn patience. This is how we learn patience. So look forward to that, because there will be no more trials or persecution when we get to heaven. And we look forward to that. We're looking for His coming. It can be any time. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful for the words that You gave to those believers 2,000 years ago. As James exhorted them in being patient, Lord, help this to be an example for us as we go through trials, knowing that You have a purpose for it. And also, Lord, that we look for Your coming again, because we know that these trials will not last forever. They're going to last as long as You want them to last. But no longer than Your coming. And we look for Your arrival, Your presence, to be able to see You face to face. Father, strengthen our hearts in this way. Even in a world when we know, and in our country, we haven't seen a lot of persecution, but Lord, we know that that's coming. So help us to be mindful in how we will face that as believers in Christ, that we might have the character of God in us to know that even these things work together for good. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.